You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Erin Harkes, the Mistress of None. Thank you so much once again for tuning in. You're probably getting used to the fact that I say things like, oh, I'm going to keep this short and sweet, and then I babble for 15 minutes, but, you know, such is life. Sorry if there was just some weird noise just then. I was scratching my head, which is kind of appropriate for everything that's going on. There's a lot going on right now. I just wanted to apologize for not having anything out last week and for being late this week. I know that consistency is important with something like this. However, I also have no idea how many people are listening, if I'm being honest, and haven't ever gotten any feedback one way or the other. So I'm always willing to hear from you guys if you have any thoughts. I know some people are probably scared to tell me, but you know who you are. If there's something, if consistency is important to you, I want to know that. If somebody is depending on me or counting on this, I want to know that. I'm going to try and get better about that. But I have a lot of stuff that is going on, some changes, and they're all good things, and some big fun announcements are forthcoming, but it has kind of taken me out of my regular responsibilities, so I have to just find time, I guess. If you hear any other weird buzzing in the background, that is the sound of yet another external hard drive that is just shitting the bed on me. I have lost a lot of data in the past month, and I have started the whole backup process of making sure that everything is saved three or four times over. And before I could even finish that process, I had another one less than a month old. Just give me a warning that if I didn't get the 10 terabytes of stuff off of it, it was going to punch me in the face. So that took my entire day yesterday between customer service and moving stuff over. I have a lot of large files because I take a lot of videos of comedy and music, and large files take up a lot of space. They take a lot of time to transfer. Some nerd shit that I'm not going to involve you in, but just know that it's been very frustrating. So if anybody is good at tech support and that kind of thing and wants a new best friend, feel free to reach out. This week I interviewed my friend Jim Felter. Jim and I have known each other for quite some time. He was a stand-up comedian, because he kind of stepped away from it. And, when I told him I wanted to interview him, he joked. He said, "What? I don't have anything to really talk about." And I said, "Well, that's not true. It's not always about promoting things and plugging things. It's about having really interesting conversations." And I've always had very funny and very interesting conversations with Jim. And I thought it'd be fun to sit and interview him. And we talk a little bit about, it's kind of interesting to hear from somebody that has stepped away from it, because that's a really hard thing to do. Like, I can't imagine a time in my life where I won't get up and tell jokes. I could never walk away from it, but, you know, different people have different experiences with this. And so I'm constantly bullying him to get him back. And, you know, maybe someday I'll get that to happen. But nonetheless, he is a great friend. He is one of the funniest people I know. This interview was probably one of the hardest I laughed during. I'm always running jokes by him. He's helped make me funnier, and he's been just honestly a really great friend, and I love him, and we had a fun interview, and I hope you enjoy it. So stay tuned. We got Jim Felter on The Mistress of None.
You're listening to The Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Do a little test. One, check. One, two, check. One, two.
Check my mic. One, two.
We're going to have to turn
one, two.
You up.
Better turn that up a little bit.
Sullen little bitch.
Easy on the bass there.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Mistress of None. Today, I am proudly interviewing my least famous guest I've ever had. I didn't say favorite, famous.
you wanted to, though.
No, I didn't. That was a actually, I want to start over because I don't want anybody to think that I was going to say that. Should I start over?
I think you should air that one.
All right, well, just fucking air that one because that's how this is going to go. This is one of my best friends of all time.
And least favorite comedian.
And least famous guest. No, you know you're my most favorite comedian.
I know that.
Mr. Jim Felter. Jim, how are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Thanks
today.
For being had.
Thanks for having me in your room here.
Yeah, he's the first guest to be in my office, which is, it's coming along. It's doing okay.
You got nice curtains.
Thank you. Yeah. I got them at Target. My friend, my gay friend who helps me decorate and stuff, was like, no, you're not a Texas housewife. And I was like, listen, I'm going to find some good shit at Target because I got an eye. And he approved of them. So, Michael, if you're listening, I know you like the shout-outs. These are the curtains, and they're working. So, back to you, Jim.
I'm not allowed to pick out stuff like that, so.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be Superman bed sheets or something. I'm not even into Superman. I'm just lazy.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. So, Jim and I had breakfast, brunchy, little brunchy, wunchy a couple of weeks ago, and I've told him that I wanted him to be on the podcast. And he said, why? And I said, because... You are interesting to talk to, and I find you very funny, and I think it would be great. So, I mean, obviously, I'm really, like, catering to at least three or four people every week, and so I care greatly about what they think. And if you're not picking up any sarcasm, then you haven't been listening enough. So this is really about what I want to talk about and who I want to talk to. And Jim, you're it, my friend.
Okay.
I'm going to spend the next few minutes trying to convince him to get back into comedy. He has abandoned comedy and me.
I haven't abandoned anything officially.
Tell the listeners what your fucking problem is.
See, what happened is, and it's actually, it's kind of your fault because you had me on a show basically the day the whole pandemic broke out and you had two city people come up from the city to do the show and people, I wouldn't even shake anyone's hand.
I remember that much, but how dare you blame me?
Well, I have to, yeah.
Because you did a show in 2021 with me as well.
That's true. I got right out of there, though. No one was talking or touching me then either.
I have a picture that says otherwise. Yeah, so I have evidence, and we're going to show it right doop, there, arm in arm with all the other comics.
I wasn't ready, that show. I got to be honest with you. I wanted to do it and stuff, but I just felt weird.
See, you have to get out of your own head because there is no harder critic than I, and I think you're hilarious. You think that you have to be writing new shit all the time, which is weird because especially in this, you know, comedy, whatever scene is here, I'm using the big air quotes if you're not watching and you're just listening, that we know how many times we've heard the same jokes over and over and over again. So you're... I'm too hard on myself, too, but I'll just write and be like, if you don't like it, then I'll make fun of myself and we'll move on from there. But, like, you were too hard on yourself thinking that you had to write new shit for every show.
No, definitely. That's definitely true. And then there's the whole, like, you're only as good as your last show kind of thing, too.
No, if I subscribe to that, I would fucking quit. So. I go, nope. I was like, I'm not going to think about that until I have another show to clean my palate and wash the stink of that show off of me.
Well, you brought up another good point of why I've kind of taken a little bit of a slowdown anyway, shall we say, mm-hmm. because you said the scene and I'm not really kind of in that locale anymore. So it's kind of tough for me to get up and out and stuff like that.
Well, indicate that there is no scene.
I know. I just mean as far as like going out and workshopping stuff and getting better and things like that. I don't know. I just don't want to do the same 20 minutes forever. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, you know, do the old 20 minutes and add a new 5 on one of my shows and just see where it goes.
And there's also the paralyzing anxiety when
Here it is.
There's that sometimes too.
Not ignoring that, but I do have to, because I'm just remembering now one of my favorite Jim Felter moments. When I don't know if I was like trying to coach or mentor you or something, but I was trying to get you some hosting work. And I said, you just have to have just a little more energy, which to be fair, like your whole vibe is like almost like a Stephen Wright kind of very dry, very, and yeah. that works yeah. for you. So it was, so it was weird to suggest that you do like high energy to host. And so what he did was he gets on the stage and he did a little like hop skip before he got to the
yeah,
microphone.
I ran up to the microphone. I said, "How we all doing tonight?" And then I,
and then you went right back to Jim Felder.
Well, it's like, you know how you do this thing? Do different than that. And I gotta tell you, if there's one way, if you want me to get in my head, just tell me, like, have a little more energy or something like that, and then I will fucking spiral so fast.
You know, and I learned that. I learned that on the spot training right there. But it was just still, I died, and I'm in the back of the room. It's just like, da-da-da, this, like, hop across the stage. And you're like, "How's everyone doing?" And you're like, "So my dad died." You know, you're just like.
Yeah. See, that's a show I remember where I changed a joke one night where I did, like, I don't know, my parents, you know, I come from a mixed family or whatever, and I usually say my dad is from Army, and I wanted to change it up because I had a bunch of, like, dad jokes that yeah. I wanted to try, so I said my dad's dead, and the whole room went, like.
Yeah, sometimes they turn on you.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, and then I got off stage, and you were like, "Yeah, I like it the other way." I knew exactly which joke you were talking about. I'm like, "Yeah, but I have to try."
Sure, but, sorry, should I have waited a little?
No, it's.
Okay.
Am I
a jerk?
No.
Okay.
But I'll tell
you. Like, I'm not going to tell you in your own home.
I don't remember, like, a ton of, like, great shows. I remember every bomb.
Of course.
I don't know if that's how that goes or what. But.
That's how it goes. I mean, sometimes. But, like, when I have a really good show, I will definitely, like, you know, roll around in it for a few days. Mm. And I'll just, like, be, "Oh, and then this other part, I said this thing." And then I'll go back and I'll watch some of the tape and I'll be like, "Okay, well, it wasn't as good as I thought it was, but it was still really good, you know?" So, like, watching the tape is fucking torture too, but
that can be, yeah.
But yeah, no, I actually I think like three times now have used one of your jokes as a tag when I say that I'm sober and I don't get the round of applause, mm-hmm. which I need to move on to the rest of the joke. I mean, 99.5% of the time I get a round of applause,
right,
for saying
sure.
how sober I am. And, like, I'll get, like, this week, and I'll be like, I mean, we'll see how tonight goes.
Right.
Which is, that's Jim's. I'm admitting right now. I've stolen it. It just kind of popped out one night that I, and I was like, "Oh, shit." And then I told you that I
was going. Oh, you told me that? Okay.
That I was going to.
You can Venmo me.
And, you know,
I think you did Venmo me, actually.
Probably. I think, well, like 12 cents?
Something like that. It's per use. So is it three times now? You owe me a quarter.
I'm sure I got one later out here somewhere.
Ooh, so, a quarter. That's ooh, a Aaron's quarter. Joke. We can do each other's jokes.
That would be hilarious.
Do you want me to? I'll do that.
Do one of my jokes.
I do. Like, you think it's. I wish I had your problem. Oh, do you? Do you? Just grab a pink marker and draw some shit on your under your elbows. I think I'll lay back for a little bit.
I hope people are watching the video, because that was the best impression of me that I've ever seen in my life. That was from the track called Boobs on Zoloft and Probation. And I should mention that Jim helped me come up with the title of that album. I could not think of a title of my first comedy album. And I have the joke about going to Forever 21. Where I say to the clerk, "You're lucky that I'm on Zoloft and probation." And I asked a few other people what they thought. And I got, honestly, sorry if you're listening and you're one of these people, but also not sorry. Gave me like the worst fucking suggestions. I was like, "Do you not want this to thrive at all?" And you wrote back like in 4 seconds. And that's one of my favorite things about you is how quick you are. Like your response time, your timing is just so quick. And you were just like, "Zoloft and probation." And that's how I read it. I read it in your voice. Like, "What are you, stupid? Why would you call it anything else?" And I was like, "Okay." It was great.
Yeah. Well, that's why I mean, in my head, I was like, "Oh, that would be kind of the perfect name for a thing." Yeah,
it never,
like,
even occurred to me.
It's like coming up with a band name with your bandmates, though.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've been through that nightmare before. That is just, that's how we came up with, like, the last, I mean, band I was in was with Matt McWaters, Matt and the Bad Ideas. And that just stemmed from trying to come up with a band name, and I was like, "Man, these are terrible, you guys." Like, and Matt in particular came up with some bad ones. I was like, "Let's just call it Matt and the Bad Ideas."
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I think that when I'm not trying to be creative is when I'm the most creative. It's like someone will say something to me, and I'm like, we should blah, blah, blah. And they're like, that's the greatest idea ever. Like, what else do you have? And I'm like, and then we'll go, and I just write down, like, you compliment me, and I've lost it.
And I want to clear up, by the way, that Matt McWaters is hilarious.
He is very funny.
And very creative. So
yes, he is.
Yeah, and very talented, so.
I also
wasn't a slight on you in that way. It was just that particular, particular thing.
A slight on funny. Who?
Matt McWaters.
Oh, fuck him. He's not listening.
That's my buddy.
I know.
What are you talking about?
That's why I'm saying this, to see if he listens.
I'm just saying he came up with some shitty band names all in a row.
I believe I was like,
whoa.
No, yeah, okay, fair.
Well, it's because we were all trying to outdo each other, too, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's how that kind of thing
and
goes.
And it's usually like sometimes like the first thing that you think of, and then you overthink it, and then you try to get too clever or creative and... I remember this one time for therapy, I was very drunk and my friend took me to her house and suggested that I do some finger painting, and she was an artist, and I did multiple finger paints and they all ended up big brown pieces of paper because I just kept muddling everything up. I was like, now I'm going to do this and now I'm going to do this, and I just made a mess and it looked like poop, and that's the best metaphor
less
I can think
more.
Of.
Less is more.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
For overthinking things,
yeah.
You just end up with a poop page.
Just big, everything just turns big brown mess. You know, just filthy. And then what are you going to do?
So Jim is very creative, and this is kind of like a good tale for, you know, comedians that are thinking about it or people that don't know anything about like what goes into being a comedian or writing a joke or performing. And I love what right before I perform when I say to somebody I'm nervous and they go, oh, don't be nervous. And I'm like, oh, I don't know that. You know, I'm like, that doesn't work, telling me not to be nervous. Like, I have to be a little bit nervous, or otherwise I'm not paying attention. The few times I've gone on stage with no nerves at all, like super cocky, worst show ever.
Yeah.
Completely take it for granted. Don't do a good job. But there are times, and I know that, like, you know, there's different levels of anxiety. For me, like, I think I fight through the anxiety in a way to, like, punish myself almost.
Mm-hmm.
But I've, you know, been able to do it. And I think, like you said, you just got to a point where you're like, this is not worth it.
Well, it's like, you know, you get to that point where the first laugh thing, you know what I mean? There's always that, like, trepidation when you first get on stage and before you get that first laugh where you can finally, like, breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're like, do they like me at all? Or, like, and also you can judge, like, how good of a laugh that was. Like, like, or, I don't know. It's just, it's tough to kind of figure out. But I get a lot of nerves when I get up on stage, but then usually by the end, you know, I'm all right and like having a good time or whatever. But
yeah, I don't think people realize how much is going through our heads while we're doing it.
Well, I'm trying to memorize everything. At first, I was like, you know, you get told no notes. And then I would try to, I would write little set lists, like one word for each joke or whatever kind of thing, and then just sit there and like pine over it for a half an hour before the show to get the order right. And finally, I figured a way to like make my set so that I could kind of remember it and make it flow a little bit better. I knew that like this part would go into that part, and I'd make a little story kind of in my head so that I knew where I was going with it. But not knowing where you're going next is like nerve-wracking. And the longer your sets get, the worse it gets with that stuff, because you could be 20 minutes into a, you know, 30-minute set, and you're so close, but...
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that, like, the flow. I mean, there's sometimes where I start another joke, and I was just like, you know, how do I get from here to there? And there are times where, like, something happens, and I just get completely out of, out of order. And I'll just, like, I've had times where I just stand there, and we're like, I had no idea where to go.
Oh, the out-of-order thing's the worst. Do you ever do one out of order? Like you mess up like a callback because of it. Like you forgot to mention a thing, and you get to the end of the joke and you're like, no one's laughing. And then you watch the video back and you're like, oh, I forgot to say that she was wearing a scarf in the beginning.
Funny if they knew what had happened. Yeah. I just had this one. I was down at the Grizzly Pear in New York.
Oh, I did that one time.
Yeah. And there were like, it was like a Monday night. There were like seven people there, you know? And It's just like, it's cool. You just get up and you try some shit and you get off and you go to the next club and you do it. And like, I've gone down a few times and sometimes it's fun doing that New York City.
Fun little hustle. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hustle comic life. And sometimes it's the worst. And so there was this couple in the back and the spotlight is so bright that I can't even like see, like I can't even see shapes. And they're just having a full blown conversation. And because I couldn't see them, I couldn't, like, go after them.
Right.
Like, there was nothing that I could see to make fun of. There was, I couldn't figure out, like, I couldn't go, like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, you know, am I interrupting? And then get do the back and forth. Like, I know how to handle that most other times. And I couldn't see anything. And I just, like, literally just stopped. And I'm glad I don't have it on tape. I wish I could, like, watched it. Because I did have one funny back and forth with this guy from Ireland. Because I said something. I did the joke where I was, like, you know, going back to being seven. Or right. Talk about like as if I started drinking heavily at 7 and he didn't laugh. I was like, oh, forget it. Like, we have Guinness and our Cheerios, you know.
Right.
And so I just like I felt like, and it was probably 4 seconds, but it felt like a fucking minute. And I was just like, you have to shop at Forever 21. I was like, oh, like I'm just like pull out.
It fucks you up so much. Yeah. When people talk, it just like for me especially, like I'm already in my head. Now I gotta listen to what you're saying. Like I can't not listen to what you're saying. If you're arguing about your fucking stupid food bill or whatever, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I can't just ignore it and go on with my stuff because now I'm paying attention to you instead of like staying in my shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and there's times when you can veer off the path, which you kind of plan on and stuff like that, where you know you can kind of take a break from your set and goof off of people and things like that, I feel like.
Yeah.
But like when somebody catches you off like that and you got to just stop your shit and then get back into it, it's like, oh.
And honestly, I think for the most part, I don't think that there's any shame in bringing like some sort of note or some sort of reminder on stage with you. I've seen some of the, I mean, if you're recording a special or you're in a theater or something, sure. But if you're trying new shit out in a club or whatever, like, I think it's okay to have something as long as you're not being obvious about it, as long as you're not just like reading straight off of it.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Saturday Night Live cast members. You know, but like, but yeah, I do because I host at New York Comedy Club. And then at the end, there's 3 more comics that do the check spots. So I bring up the first check spot and then I'm done for the night. And because I heard somebody else do it this way, now I get up and I'm like, all right. I was like, so we have a few more comics. Show's not over. I was like, your checks are going to come out. And I tell them what to do when they get the slip that they're done, then they can leave. And I go, you can leave. You shouldn't, though. You're going to enjoy these guys. I was like, I know math is hard. So how about one of you pay the fucking bill and the rest of you Venmo so that you're not talking to the whole fucking thing. What do you say? Like, you know, but there's only so much I can do.
Right.
But it's because when I was doing check spots, I was like, I'm not going to get any better doing comedy by doing these things. I know I have to pay my dues, but Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just the timeout spot, basically. Yeah.
And also, don't go out with friends where you have to argue over that. Like, just split it. Deal with it later.
Yeah, just one
or
person.
Or don't go out together if you're going to be those people.
Yeah, really. I mean, do you need to go down to the penny, by the way, with everything?
No.
Just one person pay for it, and you can figure it out later or yeah. Whatever.
Did you have 2 sodas? Or fuck off.
Yeah, really.
And I don't even drink.
I don't drink either, and I split bills with
exactly.
People. Yeah, because I'm not going to make that fuss.
No.
And I got to tell you, drinks are pretty fucking expensive.
I know.
Dude. Like,
if someone else goes, you know what, she didn't drink, I'll be like, I don't care. But yeah. Like, if they're like, just put in 10 less, I'm like, you know, all right.
Right.
But I'm never going to bring that up. I'm never.
I'm not doing the math.
No.
I mean, if you want to do all the math and then tell me how much I owe or whatever, that's fine.
It's not a big deal.
It's not really
and
a big deal.
And it's awkward. Let's just pay this. And we did this to all be together.
Right. It's like tipping the bartender for like club sodas and stuff. They probably get better tips from me not drinking than they do.
Oh, 100%.
Drinking.
100%. Because I'm so grateful that they got me a club soda, that they didn't put booze in it.
I'm not going to run out of money either. When I was drinking, you know, you got to ration that shit out. You know.
I'm dine and dash this bitch.
Listen, if the PBR is 350, you're getting the 50.
Yeah,
you
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm in the
10
band.
Bucks here.
I'm in the band. Yeah. They're like, your tab's $347. I'm like, I'm in the band.
No.
So, I mean, I do hope, obviously, that you come back to us one day, but, you know, I'll respect your...
I like writing. It doesn't leave, like, you know, I think it's stuff all the time. It's funny because I'm, like, still wired that way. I'm still wired to like write jokes at a thing. I think it's not that like I wasn't always like didn't find things funny or like, oh, that's weird or whatever, but like that like muscle to write a joke about something or to find the angle on things, like that's still there all the time.
So, yeah.
And I've been playing more music. So after years of not playing music, I've been playing a lot more music.
I think I've tried to get you to play music with me too.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't have the chops. I don't have the diversity.
No, it's fine.
The diversity in chops.
Yeah,
I would play with your band, but you know, you got a great band.
I do. I do have a good band.
You know, if all your other drummers one day were like,
I have a new drummer now, and I never thought that anybody in a million years could replace Josh Morris. It's been a while since I brought his name up, but we found a real good one, and he's holding his own. He's doing really well. He's good on and off stage, which you know is key. Like, mm-hmm. You got to be a good fucking hang too.
Well, you know me. I'm like, if your fourth or fifth sub can't make it, I can hack it for a night.
Oh, I'm sure.
Send me those songs. We'll have a good time. I'll drop some sticks.
That's all I ask. As long as you keep the tempo, I mean.
Listen, as long as you turn around and yell at me a few times during the set.
I have no problem with that.
That's what keeps me going. Come on, pick it up.
It's so hard, though, with like a new drummer, like, because you end up having this weird sign language with them that nobody else would ever understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, like, you anticipate one another, and that's such a good feeling, especially when you just started playing with somebody.
Yeah,
I was like, I was just going to tell you to awesome. We had a whole conversation without speaking. Great. But like, I was trying to tell him to like mellow out because I was singing a softer part and he was coming in like too heavy at first.
Mm.
And so I just like did this like hand down thing and he thought that meant like stop. And so like after the song, I go, you didn't do anything wrong. Like I have to start out.
Right.
You're fine. We never talked about what we were going to do. I said that.
I didn't show you my sign language.
Yeah,
sorry.
How did you not understand that this meant that? And he was
not,
like, oh, okay. I go, if I want you to stop, I go, it's going to be like some. And he goes, oh, yeah. And like never had.
Like it's right there on page 6 in the handbook. Did you not?
You didn't go back and study the Josh Morris playbook? There's videos. But Josh, I mostly just flipped him off. But like he just, you know, also you just kind of get used to the person. Like when I like, you know, like bend down a little bit, like, you know, just kind of and then you know, let's fucking go, bring it back up. But it's tough to do both.
You always have great bands though. Oh, you guys all read each other well and stuff.
Yeah,
put on a great show.
It's funny because it does take a little bit to get there, but once it's there, it's just like it just feels really good. Because I mean, as a lot of people know, about 3 years ago I went through a major breakup with everybody all at once. And I started playing with my new guitar player because, like, what I was saying to people is they kept comparing it to, like, a marriage. And I said, no, it's worse than a marriage because in a marriage, you can take some time and date yourself and, you know, spend some time alone and stuff like that. In a band, no, I need another fucking guitar player by this weekend. I don't have time to date myself. Like... And so I found somebody who is fantastic, but the first few shows that we did together, even though he was great, I didn't feel that click with him. And I had to stop and tell myself, I'm like, you're not going to feel that right away. Of course you're not. And it took a little while. I'm just super impatient. And then after a while, I'm like, holy shit. Like, yeah, we're like reading each other's fucking minds.
It's because you didn't know the hand signals.
There are no hand signals in guitar because you're playing guitar. It's like eyebrow signals.
It's all eyebrows?
Yeah. I give a very angry eyebrow. Yeah. No, but even with the guitar, it's more anticipating than anything. It's just like getting to know one another.
What is the rock eyebrow? What does that one mean if you do that one?
It's eyebrows chin combo. You got to like. Or you just go, play fucking faster.
Yeah.
Play louder.
I was there the day a man almost knocked over your guitar.
Oh, in Saratoga.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I had to change one of your guitar strings.
Yes.
One time too.
Yes.
I had a roadie for you.
Chimmy has been my guitar tech.
That was funny.
We kind of,
And then a man jumped up on stage and put his arm around you. And I was like, oh,
He looked like Rod Stewart.
It was too late for me, but I was like, she's going to handle it anyway. I wasn't like super worried about you.
I love how he penetrated the entire back line of my band and nobody fucking did anything.
I turned back around. I was like, whoa. Because I didn't know if it was like somebody you knew that you told to come over to sing with you. So I just saw this guy.
Anybody that knows me knows not to come up from behind me on stage.
Well, then I saw you surprised and I was like, oh, shit. And then,
because I thought it might have been my bass player at the time. So I was like, oh, he doesn't normally do that. But I turned around and it was somebody I'd never seen before.
It was such a weird thing for someone
just, like,
to even
shoved him in the
fucking
chest.
Do.
Yeah. And then I called the people that were running that whole townwide event. And I said, you're going to need to send some sort of fucking security down here or I'm going to get violent. And so we played two nights that weekend. And the next night I bought this gardening fence thing that we just like did some like zip ties to the ends, and because there was remember the fat guy with the cowboy hat that was like basically do-si-do-ing the monitor, he kept like doing this like square dance, like step up and around the monitor. I'm like, what in what world would you think you should ever breach that line?
You did have to keep telling people to move back.
I'm gonna choke you with your own bolo tie.
And then there was Kane guy.
Oh god, Kane guy the dancer.
That guy was cutting a road. It was a street fair.
That was that guy was intense, man.
Yeah. I feel like he didn't need the cane.
No,
I don't know, you know what I mean?
It was a prop.
It's like
for
we get
sure.
it, guy. It's for show.
Mm-hmm.
You're very dexterous for 80 or whatever.
For whatever, yeah.
He just could have been like 40 and drunk though too.
I think so.
You know what I mean?
Let's split the difference. He was 60. And a little shit faced and definitely fucked up in the head.
In the sun at the track all day.
Yeah.
Probably lost all his money.
No, he looked like he won everything. He was just way too happy. Like upsettingly happy. Yeah, but I brought this like big like green like plastic thing that I just tied up to the front of it. And I was like, I don't care how it looks. Like,
oh, I thought you said garden fence, and in my head I was just going like Spinal Tap, Stonehenge. Like I thought you.
Oh. Well,
like one of those little ones, runners.
No, like
there.
Like the plastic like
white
mesh
picket.
Mesh kind of thing. No, that would have been great. But they, I know that somebody was like, "Oh God, that looks awful," and I was like, "Unless you're gonna put people on this stage to keep other people from walking up to me."
It's like in New York when they had people playing in those cages and stuff, right?
Yeah. Because it wasn't even bad enough that we didn't have any sort of riser, which I don't always, like, insist on. It's nice to have something that just indicates to some people have the wherewithal to realize, oh, that's the stage. I'm not allowed on it.
Well, it's literally a tent just around the part where you shouldn't go inside.
Yeah, so. At the bottom of a hill.
Right.
So gravity had a lot to do with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, because
these people were toast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just getting slowly pushed down. But there are people just walking right. And I'm like.
You can only go one direction at a certain point. Your head just leads you right down that hill.
We've all had that fat baby head,
yeah,
you know, drunk baby.
Yeah, sometimes it swirls into Esperantos for a doughboy in case your head's not fat enough.
Who needs some fat head here? Yeah, so that was the guy that almost knocked the guitar over, and then the Rod Stewart coming up behind me. And
I had someone get arrested at a comedy show one time in the middle of my set.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was at some bar that had over on in like Colony somewhere. I don't even know if it's still around, but the other half of the building was a laundromat.
Oh my God.
And I think some guy was trying to evade the cops or something like that from the laundromat, so he was hiding in the bar. So in the middle of my set, these cops walk in, you know, I'm just like, evening, gentlemen. I'm like, just trying to go about my set. And then like 2 seconds later, they come walking out with a guy in front of them with handcuffs. And I'm trying to pretend it's not happening, but I'm like, well, I mean, we all saw that, right?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, should I continue or?
So that was one of the more fun things that has happened in comedy.
God, I mean, the places that we've ended up having shows where you're just like this. So I get a lot of people that will message me or call or whatever and say, we want to do a comedy show here. And I locally typically get the first call because I've won, you know, my name comes up first in the searches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I always say, well, let me check the place out, you know, either like send me a picture or tell me a little bit about it. One of the first things that I'll say is, do you have like a dedicated space, like a back hall area, a separate banquet room, something that is separate from the regular bar area. And if they say no, I say, are you willing to shut the place down for that night for that show? And they say no. I said, then you probably can't have one. It has to be a space where people come in and sit down and shut the fuck up and watch it. There can't be TVs. There can't be like a loud bar, like mixing drinks right there. Yeah. I mean, sometimes that happens anyway. There can't be people just walking in and out the entire time. And then I'll say, you seem disappointed. Somebody will probably tell you that they can do a comedy show here.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're going to do one. And it's going to be terrible. And you're going to ruin comedy. Because then I'm going to go to sell a ticket to somebody next week. And they're going to say, no, I just went to a show and it was the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. And you're like, where was it? And they tell you where. Like, who was on it? They tell you who. And you're like.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's always exceptions to every rule, but generally, yeah. you don't want to do any of that stuff. The distractions are bad. And I've tried to produce a couple things in the past, too, and it's hard to get everyone on the same page with that stuff.
Yeah.
Even when ahead of time when you talk about it, like, yeah, no problem. And then you get on, they're like, well, these are our regulars, and they like to watch their regular game and this and that. And it's like, well, we agreed that, you know.
Yeah. I had this one place where I said, okay, I was like, listen, if your regulars come in and they can't afford $5, I go, what we'll do with, because they were so worried about the regulars getting turned off. And I said, okay, I get that.
Right.
I said, how about this? They come in. If they like it, we'll ask that they pay on their way out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they ever did?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, if I like it. And I'm like, oh, you stayed the whole time?
Right.
Enjoy yourself?
If I like it. It's like, that's not really how that works.
$5? But like, you know, so you make these, you know, concessions when you're first starting out and when you're trying to make a new place work, because there isn't much to do for comedy up here. And so like whenever somebody asks me something, I'm like,
you try to make it work.
Any opportunity I have is an opportunity I've made for myself, because yeah, there's nothing really otherwise.
Yeah. I've definitely, like, people suggest doing it and I'm like, that's not a good environment for that at all. But they insist that, like, they're going to love it, you know? And it's like, it's kind of like the tell me a joke thing. It's like, that's not really how that works
that
at all.
Work,
yeah.
Say something funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you're not very good at it. Yep, that's it. You figured me out in 1 second. Yep.
You can't just have a show anywhere. I mean, you can.
Like, you can't set up over there. I'm like, oh, in front of the bathroom door? Yeah, I would love to move every time somebody has to go take a shit.
Right.
That's great.
Right. And the other thing is, like, because you do it and make it work, people think that it's like, okay, so it does work. So
yeah.
But it's like, no, I kind of rolled with it and made this work, but this is not ideal, you know?
Yeah, like, well, people see that I have, like, a sold-out show here or there. And they go, we want to do comedy here. And I go, okay, but we all have to work together. And then, like, the week of the show, you're like, hi, you haven't posted anything about this show on any of your social media. I've made things for you to just, all you have to do is click one button in your Instagram messages, and then it'll appear on your feed. Can you do that much?
Mm.
Oh, I don't see it. I don't know how to do that. I'm like, this isn't going to work. It worked at the other place because they have a brain and they were willing to work with me to get the word out.
Mm, yeah, got to promote. Yeah, you got to. Everybody has to kind of work together to make it. I mean, and they should, because everybody is going to do better at the end of the day. The business is going to make more, you know.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
The whole idea is that we're going to get some more people, you know, having a good time and drinking some more and stuff like that, too.
Or when you get to a place and, like, you sent them flyers like 2 months ago.
And I get it. I get it's annoying. People are annoying.
I don't get that it's annoying. It's your fucking job.
But I also get, you know, I get that it's annoying sometimes, too, to have to do extra stuff. But
extra stuff to make sure that your business works? No, I don't.
Well, not if it's your business, but if you're like, you know, Joe Schmo the door guy or whatever, and you're like, whatever, I don't care. But
Joe Schmo, yeah.
On the other hand, you could be like, we got a really cool show coming up, guys.
You know, yeah, manage your staff.
Get people pumped about it. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, but yeah, manage your staff. Like, I'm sorry.
I've thrown like two shows. Let's be clear here.
Yeah.
I've thrown like two shows, and I was like, I'm a failure, and then I stopped.
I get what you're trying to say, but I'm like, absolutely fucking not.
You're successful at this. I was not.
But I can't possibly make it any easier for these venues sometimes when I'm like, here is this. All you have to do is cut and paste this.
Mm.
like literally four clicks. Here's all the different size graphics that you need. And then, you know, I'm chasing down the other performers on the show and I'm chasing down, you know, the place to do it. And I'm just like, if we all, like, I have seven shows this week.
It's kind of funny because it's like, does anybody want to do this?
That's what I, yeah. I'm sorry. Did you not want to perform to people?
Yeah.
Because I can just sit back and say, fuck it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll all make more money if there's an audience. And it really, like, I mean, I don't expect you to stop everything you're doing and only talk about that one thing. Mm. But I'm going to go and I'm going to check. And like, there was this one place and I was like, you haven't posted anything, not even my show, but anything in 2 weeks.
Mm.
Are you open? Because it doesn't look like it.
Right.
Like, it's not. This is the age we live in. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. 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 Because you're competing with like Netflix and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just getting people out of the house. I know that because I don't leave the house anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're not my target audience anyway.
That's part of the gig too. It's like going out and gigging and stuff like that is a lot. You know, I didn't have near the schedule that you do, but like, honestly, that wore me out too after a while.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of traveling and stuff. Like, I can't imagine what you probably spend a month in gas.
Diesel, because, baby.
Well, even so though.
No, I know. It's a lot. Yeah.
Because I think about it now. I'm like, I couldn't. There are times where I just couldn't afford to do a gig. Like, I couldn't afford to drive to Saratoga or whatever for $20.
Yeah.
to do 10 minutes to four people or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but that's kind of what you have to do. I mean.
For a while.
You do. You got to be in it and you got to work it all the time. So long story short, that's why.
No. Yeah. And then in comedy, you could be at it for years before you start making any actual money. The only reason I'm making any money right now is because I produce my own shows. Mm-hmm. But this shit keeps me up at night
and
because I'm
it,
not
do it,
selling
do it,
tickets. I know. And I'm like, you know, if there's like a dip in people not wanting to go out anymore, I'm like, well, fuck me, you know. But it's just, yeah, it's just nonstop.
I always hated how people call that doing reps, like they're at the gym.
Oh.
Which I just don't, but it is like that. But I just don't like that because I don't like the gym. But,
yeah,
you know.
That's a stupid way to put it, though.
It's a real Lughead reference. Doing reps.
No, I don't like that at all because you shouldn't be doing the same shit every time. You should change it up just a little bit, you know? It was
See,
like,
and then she just told me I could just do the same shit.
I said a little bit.
I shouldn't write anything new ever.
A little bit different than a rep. When I do reps right here in this office, I got some 10-pounders over there. And I do curls, and the curls are the same every time. That's a fucking rep.
Listen, I had a joke for every holiday. So anytime I hosted at the Funny Bone, I could always open up with a holiday joke.
Tell me your Thanksgiving joke.
Oh, man. I don't know if maybe I didn't have a thing. It might have been I have a Halloween and a Christmas joke. I probably went more Christmas.
I had a terrible Thanksgiving joke that I still think is hilarious, but it never worked.
Okay, go ahead.
It's like, I feel bad for people whose birthday falls on Thanksgiving. Do they only get one turkey? I would be really sad if I didn't get my birthday turkey.
They're the only one that gets seconds. They put candles in the turkey.
Right? What's your Halloween joke?
Oh, I had a couple of them. I wanted to do one of those couples costumes this year for Halloween, but my girlfriend and I couldn't agree on anything, so I'm just going to be Mario, and she's going to be a pain in the ass. something like that. That was one of my Halloween jokes.
Mine was, I got tired of trick-or-treater, so I just registered as a sex offender.
Okay. Pretty good.
I came up with that one because I was performing on Halloween at this open mic in Asheville in 2014, and it hit me like seconds before I went on stage, and I just said it, and it went over really well. I've only done it like a handful of times since. It's been hit or miss.
Do you ever have stuff that you're like still scared to do?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like that's another problem with me is like, that's a lot of where I'm going. And
yeah.
If you're not careful with things.
But I think it's how you recover from it.
I mean, it's also irrelevant because it's usually the people complaining are the ones that aren't really invested in what you're doing anyway.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I've never been like super risque, so I don't ever worry about like, you know, cancel stuff like that.
But I want to be.
I mean, I have a like
I have a few things, but honestly, like, whenever I've done anything that's like kind of like that, it makes me feel bad, and so I just don't do it. I think when we talk, you know, off the mics and when no one else is around, that's a different story.
Well, yeah, there's definitely things like that.
Yeah, we'd go to jail.
We'll never see the light of day.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's how we talk to one another. And like, I mean, it's horrible. But
and
like,
honestly,
we don't fucking
comics,
mean it.
Like, you know, as it is just a whole different echelon of like, we can find funny in a lot of things, and especially the more inappropriate, like terrible, horrible things.
Well, that's part of our mental health coping mechanisms.
Yeah,
is making jokes out of horrible things that have happened.
And in the meme world now, I mean, there's people that are just more, that are not even comedians, I don't think, that are just way more horrible than things I could even think, like, blow my mind.
Sure.
With it. To the point where I'm almost offended a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is hilarious, but wow, dude.
I know. I have a lot of times where I'm like, oh, wow. Well,
I really shouldn't be laughing at this, but.
I think one of the darkest jokes I ever told, and this will only work if people are watching it and not listening. Not that I'm trying to get people to watch it, because I'm wearing these really, like, enormous jeans. Yeah. Well, was my hair that bad, too?
No. I thought you were doing a visual joke.
Oh,
we're gonna do like,
no, God.
I never told this one.
No. He just did something to his eyes, which I don't even understand. But no, my joke was that we just found out that my that
I'm
my
us both canceled here.
We found out that my grandma has Parkinson's, which is equally upsetting or extra upsetting, because up until now we just thought she was really agreeable.
Yeah,
just not like that.
Pretty good though. I mean,
I did it like once or twice, and yeah, it went over really well, but little, I'm scared
little,
of it.
It's a little dark for you.
It is a little dark for me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily your wheelhouse. You could always, I mean, it's always there though.
Yeah,
if you get, you know, if you get that crowd.
But you never know.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that terrifies me about crowd work, is that it can go really well. But it can, man, go horrible. And I've been trying to do it more lately, and it's gone okay.
Yeah.
But, like, the best part is that I'm good at making fun of myself. So, like I said, how you react to something when it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
And, like, I've had times where, like, this couple, like, says something to me, and I just look down, I go, I got nothing. And I moved on to the next one, and everybody laughed. I was like,
why? Can I ask you, why are you trying to do it more?
One, because as a host.
Have they, like, has it not suggested, but has it been, like, asked of you?
Not by the club, but it was some advice that somebody else at host gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And also, honestly, for content.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have this new joke that I know is going to be, like, the hit joke off of my next album.
Mm-hmm.
And it fucking hits hard every time. And I will not share that joke online, because when the album comes out, I want it to be,
sure,
only for the album.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what's hard too these days, is that, like, you can have something that's great and you can't necessarily share it right away, because then it kind of takes.
Well, I think that's the loophole that's been exploited here, is that we can post clips of crowd work without burning material.
That's it.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
So, and everything.
Which goes well sometimes and,
sure,
goes really terrible a lot of other times.
Yeah.
I got to say, there's a lot of things that get put online that it's like, I would give advice to people to, like, reconsider just putting things up just to put things up.
Yeah.
For people to see.
And I'd like to think that I'm good about that. Like, I'll have a few in a row.
Definitely not advice for you. I mean,
yeah, no, I'll have a few in a row where I'm like, this is good, this is good, this is good. And then I won't have anything for a couple of weeks, because I'm like, I don't have anything good. Like, I'll go through my sets from when I'm down in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I thought was really funny in the moment, I'll go back and I'm like, eh, I can't really make that work. And I'm like, oh, I can do this. But it's also really hard to go back and watch your own shit and not torture yourself.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of new people doing it because they want to excel faster and stuff like that and get their name out there and stuff, because it's all about promotion and this and that. So the more videos you can get out, the better or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm seeing somebody that, like, I think you'd be funny. Like, I think you have ideas for things that, like, are maybe not hashed out yet. And when you show everybody that stuff ahead of time, they're not going to be along for the ride. You know, they're,
yeah,
not going to watch you from start to end with that joke.
Well, I know people that I've, like, done shows and contests and classes with that, not being a dick, I know that I'm a better comic than they are, but they will do much better than me because for some reason they have figured out the algorithm and they have like 40,000 views on everything that they post.
Well, yeah, it's definitely not a fair playing field.
No, and that's why I've been shifting to try and get into it. But I'm also like, I can't fucking keep this shit up.
I mean, it is and it isn't. It's not. I mean, it's like.
That's just what the game is now.
It's fairly equal opportunity where anybody can take their shot at trying to be, you know, funny or whatever, you know. But that someone gets success doesn't necessarily mean that they're, you know.
Yeah.
The cream of the crop. They're just hitting some other mark for some reason, or they're just likable. I mean, some people are just likable and they can't say anything wrong.
I don't fucking like them.
That's not my angle. Really? I try
like
to
who knows what it is. You're like, they're likable. I'm like, oh, well, fuck you too.
You know, I'm not trying to go up and be Matt Rife or anything, you know, like I'm funnier when you hate me is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm just going to be despicable.
I'm not going to try to endear you to me because it's just not going to work. It's better if I'm the enemy.
Well, I think it would be more of a shock to your system if I attempted to be likable and then I get to one of my jokes where I'm literally screaming at you.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
I did the whole montage of my last special where it was called Sometimes I Get Mad. And it was just clip to clip to clip of me like just screaming stuff. I didn't realize how often I did that. Like the female Sam Kinison or something. I was like, imagine me like getting you really comfortable and then being like.
Ham Kinison.
Do not fucking call me Ham. All right, we're going to wrap this interview up because I'm going to kick his fucking ass. What time is it? Yeah, that's enough out of you anyway. That's a good place as any. So tell us what you have coming up, Jim.
Well, I'll be mowing the lawn Saturday. And that's it. I'm actually Saturday. I'll be playing with my friend Bobby and my friend Jeff at Jeff's house. And no one is invited. So
okay.
That's all right.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
You were not invited
yeah.
to Jim's band practice in his friend's basement, garage?
House, living room.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Just, you know.
They let you do it inside.
Well, yeah, it's when you're with your folks, you know, you got to do it in the basement, the garage and stuff.
Or with a unsupportive wife.
What? I don't know. I don't have that issue.
Me neither.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think my husband would appreciate me setting up in the living room, but I don't really want to bring my 7-piece band in the living room either. So,
yeah,
you know.
Or give them your address, probably.
Probably not, really. I didn't even like you coming over, even though I invited you.
It was still saved in my phone from last time.
I was like, he hasn't asked me for the address yet.
Yeah, because
maybe he
it.
Won't come.
Yeah, I've been stopping by. You weren't home, though.
I had a woman at a show one time. She was helping me bring my stuff in, which she did every once in a while when she saw one of my shows. She's like, oh, would you like some help? And I'm like, sure. And she goes, so you haven't been home for a few days. And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah. She's like, I didn't see your car for like the last week. And I'm like, I never told you where I live.
No idea. You never figured it out?
No, do you think I'm going to engage after that?
Dude, how many cameras did you put up after that?
I just moved.
Yeah, that's probably smart. But she knows.
Fuck.
She's got an Apple tag on you.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, she put it in like your merch case or something.
Oh, never mind. I thought you were talking about whatever I felt up my butt.
Oh.
No? My merch case. That makes more sense. That's easier. Okay. On that note... It's been an absolute pleasure talking with
you. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being my least.
A lot of fun. I hope you cut half of this.
Oh, no. The whole thing's going on.
This is going on.
No editing. Yeah, I'm too fucking lazy to edit this shit.
No. Well, I wish I would have belched or something fun.
Well, I'm going to take your mic before that happens.
Okay.
And now we're going to call it a day. You've been listening to Jim Felter. You can catch him nowhere. And I am Erin Harks, the Mistress of None, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.
Welcome back. Thank you very much for listening. That was a fun interview. The beginning of it was a little sound check, but I left it in there just because we were laughing pretty hard. And I don't know. I thought it was funny. Leave a little B-roll in there. That's it for me this week, guys. Thank you again so much for tuning in. Keep in mind, like we always say, Wednesdays are the new Saturdays. And tonight, I'm going to be at Katie O'Burns in Schenectady. There are only 4 tickets left. Hopefully by the time I post this, there will be no tickets left. Tomorrow night I am in Broad Alban for the Great Sacandaga Brewing Company. We have a comedy show there. All this stuff is at our website. Back to the Wednesday thing, though. Next Wednesday, we're doing a live band karaoke at June Farms. You can find out more info and get tickets on their website. I think that's also on my website, though. I'll have to double check that. But definitely go to junefarms.com. It's like $10 or something like that, unless you want to get a table for you and your friends, and it's a little bit more. But it's going to be a fun time, even if you want to just come and watch some other people really embarrass the shit out of themselves. It's going to be a good time. Then the Wednesday after that, I will be out of town, but my very talented friend Reese Fulmer will be stepping in for me at Cafe Lena for Lena Go Round. Make sure you get your tickets. That is on my website or at cafelena.org. The Wednesday after that, June 5th, is my 1-year anniversary of Women Aren't Funny. If you sign up for my mailing list, I will send you some buy one, get one free tickets to that. That's going to be a big one. I'm headlining it. Lots of special guests. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're hoping to sell enough tickets that we get to move up to the Great Hall, but I'm fine either way. I'm just excited to be celebrating 1 year of this show that I love very, very much. So thank you all so much for tuning in. As always, like, share, follow, love, whatever. We're also doing Pride. Hark is playing Pride on June 9th in the park. And then later that week, we are playing Alive at 5 in downtown Albany, opening for Dokken. I'm only laughing because it's going to be such a bipolar kind of week for the band, because Sunday we're going to be bringing it for the gays in the park, doing all the hits that they love. And then Thursday we are asked to do classic rock. So get ready for that. Again, all the info, as usual, can be found at erinharks.com. This has been the Mistress of None. Follow me on all the social media platforms. Like, share, tell your friends, tell your enemies. I don't care. Just because you don't like them doesn't mean they don't have ears. All right, guys, I love you. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.